Hey guys, Lance Erlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
What a great day. What a great weekend. We got it all going on. We got the Cougs tomorrow night in the Sweet 16. We got the Rockets on a 10-game win streak. We got the Astros opening day. And we got the Texas Children's Houston Open. Joining us now, an old friend of the show, Scott Sajanak, who is on Daniel Berger's bag this week in town for the big event here just a couple of weeks before the Masters. A lot of great players out there. If you haven't made plans, get on out there. We're going to have a perfect weekend for golf here in the city of Houston, and maybe it'll attract even more guys in the upcoming years. Scott, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me, as usual.
We appreciate you being with us. You're on now. You're on Daniel Berger's bag this year. How'd that come about?
Little switcheroo, very tough decision to make. Obviously, Brant Snedeker, love the guy like family. Daniel Berger, known him a long time, and, decided to make the switch. And, Daniel obviously coming back from, just over a year of no golf with a back injury. But prior to that, he was, you know, President's Cup, Ryder Cup. Won a bunch of times, so looking forward to the getting the new team together and starting up here at the Houston Open.
Yeah, that is awesome. And how's the okay? So you've been out there. How is the course looking, and what's the response from the players been?
Absolutely amazing. This is the conditioning of this course. Obviously, shifting the date to the springtime is huge because they could overseed, but this is literally as good a conditioned course as we play all year on tour. I mean, it is lush. It is green. The course is going to play a little longer with the overseed. Had a north wind Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for practice, so it was playing incredibly long. Should warm up today and definitely by the weekend. South wind is going to make the par fives gettable, but I have never seen this course. I live in Houston. I played this course 500 times, and I've never seen it so good.
That is awesome to hear. And so you're hearing that from the players as well. We got a nice field. We got Scottie Scheffler here. We got Wyndham Clark here, and amongst other guys, Tony Finau and whatnot. Do you think with 2 weeks before the Masters now that this is going to be, and once the word spreads with the PGA amongst the players, that more guys are going to be showing up in years to come here?
100%. 100%. I've had probably two or three dozen players come up to me in the last few days saying, cannot believe the transformation of this course. We've got uniform one-inch rough everywhere, just like Augusta. We've got the overseed everywhere in the chipping areas around the greens, just like Augusta. Now, nothing's truly ever going to replicate the Masters in Augusta, but this is going to be as close as you can do, even more so than we played the Golf Club of Houston. So I've had a lot of players, a lot of caddies come up and give really good feedback on the setup, the look and feel of the course, and I can see this event kind of becoming like it used to be, that little niche before Augusta prep. It'd be great to get the week before Augusta again, but I think that's a conversation with the Valero Texas Open that snagged that date, but we're close enough. You know, this is still going to be a great prep week for the green jacket.
Well, but we had the week before, and, you know, a lot of guys don't play the week before the Masters, before a major. So that was this one I think might even be a better date for that, because guys do want to play a couple weeks before and then hand it over to Augusta and get ready for that. So we'll
see.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll see how it works out. Listen, Finau shot 16 last year, but, you know, Scheffler over four rounds. Scottie Scheffler shooting 6 under, and Justin Rose at 6 under, Jason Day 5 under, Wyndham Clark 5 under. That means the course is really tough. Why is this one? why is this playing as difficult for these guys as a lot of courses we see throughout the year?
I missed the first part of that question. I'm sorry.
Well, the Scotty Scheffler over 4 days shot six under. Scotty Scheffler is going to shoot a lot lower on a lot of different courses. Why is this one tougher?
It's long. It's a second shot golf course. It's a shot maker's golf course with irons, and the greens have just enough going on with slope and forced carries that there's no real room for error. And you're not accidentally winning this tournament like you can some others where it's soft and you can get away with errant shots. You have to be on, and you have to be on for 72 holes. There's no backing into to a win or a good week on a golf course like this. It's a lot of the data says, you know, and this week we've been prepping with 175 to 210 yard shots, which statistically is longer than a lot of courses we play on tour. So that was where we concentrated our practice on. A lot of five irons, a lot of six irons, five irons, four irons. And no matter how good you are, that's a lot of club to have back to back to back holes. So that's kind of how it's going to play out this week. You better be spot on with your iron play.
Yeah. So what's the talk? I don't want to talk about LIV so much, but without those players, the John Rahms and the Koepkas and whatnot, what is the talk out there on the tour lately? I don't even watch LIV. Do you watch LIV when you get a chance? I don't even watch. I've seen about 10 minutes of LIV my whole since it started.
I'm the same. I've never watched it, and it's not because I'm anti-LIV per se. I just don't even really know where it's on or how to watch it. I've got a lot of good friends that took the plunge out there, players and caddies. But no, I haven't really tuned in. And it does. The reality of it is it sucks not to have John Rahm and DJ and Brooks and Swofford and Taylor Gooch playing on the tour. They're an asset to the tour. But at the same time, you know, no one's bigger than the sport. And the PGA Tour still has a great product with a lot of great players. And I'd like to see some point everybody come back together. And I think that's what they're trying to work out in the back room right now. And I think if they do come together, you know, golf is going to be unbelievably strong. But we might be a year or two away from that if it happens at all. But it was a hit to the tour, but none of them are bigger than the sport. So the tour can only just keep chipping away with what they have and see where the cards fall.
How much... I mean, there was a stat that came out this week that Scotty Scheffler's caddy is making more than Rory McIlroy this year.
I haven't really paid. I mean, obviously, I know Scotty's won a lot of tournaments this year and a couple of them being elevated events where the prize money's massive. So we can all do the basic math, and that seems to be the case. But, you know, it's still March, and Rory hasn't even begun yet. You know, he'll find his stride here in the summer months, but I think those figures will start to balance out a little bit here over the next 6 months.
But how much better is since Tiger, is he the biggest difference from everybody else on the tour since when Tiger dominated the tour?
Yes, certainly. Right now, the difference between Scotty Scheffler and Tiger is Tiger's longevity. Like, he did that for over a decade. Scotty's done it now for, you know, a year or so. So that's the big difference. But yes, he is right now, you know, probably a football field length ahead of everybody else as far as, like, statistically, his driving, his putting is not great, but it's still pretty darn good. He gets criticized as being a bad putter. He's not a bad putter. Wedge play, he is just miles ahead of everybody, kind of like what Tiger was. But Tiger did it for 15 straight years.
Yeah.
So we'll see how Scotty goes.
Is that good for the sport?
Yeah, absolutely. It's good for the sport. It's good for the sport because it pushes everybody else. Because, you know, Scotty Scheffler played junior golf and college golf with probably 30, 40 guys that are currently on tour that probably beat him at some point in time as a junior and in college golf, which wasn't that long ago. So it pushes those guys to be better. And because they know, hey, I've beaten Scotty 10 times before down the stretch, not that long ago, and I can do it now. So it gives that next tier of players something to push for. It's like, I can beat this guy. And that helps the product, helps golf.
That's Scott Sajanak, caddy for Daniel Berger here this week for the Houston Open, a huge, huge event here for the city, and it's going to, just going to get bigger over the couple of weeks before the Masters. That's our slot now, and that is just perfect. And the weather, you guys are, you got it. It's going to be great. It's going to be great out there. So we're really looking forward to it. Daniel Berger hitting it in his practice rounds. Is he? What do you think about his chances this week?
This is a really good course for Daniel Berger. Great. His weapon is distance control with his irons, which is needed on this golf course. We had a great 3 days of prep. I'm talking really good. He's just a little rusty. So the practice has always been okay, and it's getting a little better each day. So it's just a function now of everything coming together. But this is a shot maker's course, and Berger's a shot maker. Yeah. And I could see him playing well this week. I really can.
That's Scott Sajanak. We appreciate you being here. Good day, mate.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me.
All right. There's Scott Sajanak right here. Friend of the show. He's been on a few times. Gets a great perspective from the caddy room right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Did you take a break? Or
I don't have anything to add. I don't know any of those people you're talking about. I'm just here for opening day on the rock.
What about, okay, if we have a Frisbee caddy on? What?
Never heard of them. They don't exist.
You don't have a Frisbee caddy?
No, you carry your own backpack or whatever.
Okay, so it's a backpack thing.
So it's not like whatever you're carrying. It's not like a hip thing.
It's like a purse, like DeAndre.
I assumed it was a holster where you had like slots for your different Frisbees.
Your Frisbees?
Yeah, you had like a little waistband thing and you had a little satchel on the side.
Grab one and throw it.
It's not like that. It's an actual backpack.
Yeah. It's not like.
Well, what if you need to grab it right away?
Don't deflect.
Yeah. What if you need?
Don't deflect. You don't deflect. That was caddy talk.
Is it a? Is it a?
He's trying to put it on me.
Well, I got questions because you are.
I didn't put him on the. I didn't put a guy on the radio.
I'm not talking about
disc golf.
I'm not talking about Scott Sajanak. I'm talking about you. Is the backpack like open at the top?
So you can like
where you can pull
like Legolas?
Yeah.
Where you grab your arrow and right?
No.
And Frisbee is?
I'm not even telling y'all about that.
You're
trying to
bring
it up and make it a topic now.
You said it was a backpack.
Yeah.
So it's like Legolas. I mind my own business with
so
it.
So when you go out to one of your toughest courses, do you have a hip satchel or do you use a backpack?
I bring, frankly,
is it stylish like Russell Westbrook?
I carry like zesty? Three of them in my hand and just walk.
Do you have a zesty satchel for your Frisbee?
No. It's just a regular.
It's not zesty.
I don't even bring anything a lot of times. Just three in my hand and walk.
Oh,
regular shoes.
You need a caddy.
I didn't
then.
Have a segment for you about disc golf.
Well, you've had.
So why are y'all trying to turn it on me?
Because
I couldn't say anything to that guy. I don't know if Daniel Berger spit on my kid's food. I wouldn't know who he is. Like, stop it, Daniel Berger. I'd say, hey, this guy just spit in my kid's food. I wouldn't know it was Daniel.
You wouldn't
Berger.
Know it was Daniel Berger.
No.
You don't know who Daniel Berger
Daniel
is?
Berger?
Wow.
Do you know Daniel Berger, Dell?
No. Next Friday, Lance, can you bring on a froth caddy? And we can talk
they
about
don't exist.
The ins and outs.
Can you
they
bring,
don't exist.
Can you bring on a backpack to talk about?
Backpacks can't talk.
They carry the Frisbees.
But they don't talk.
I like that John appropriates white guys, too. Was that guy even an Aussie?
Yeah, he was.
I don't know, somebody's asking if he was.
Good
just
because
you say good day doesn't make somebody an Aussie.
He's an Aussie, yeah.
Did he not sound like it?
He did. He's from Australia.
Why did he?
Matter of fact, he texted me, "Hey mate." That's how he texted me.
Oh well, then that's definitely Australian. You don't just say mate.
No, no one says mate unless you're from Australia.
You know who liked that interview a lot? Art, our listener. Art
loves that. Art loves that. Are we talking about grass again?
I mean,
Art,
the undulations
like
of a golf
tweets.
Course, the rises,
tweets.
The falls, the gradients of a golf course, riveting.
It's awesome. I mean, it doesn't get any better, Art. Does not get any better, golf interview.
I don't know why you're allowing Art to take all the hits.
I was
we
fine
had multiple
with it,
guys.
But you can't look to me to add something. It'll be so obvious. Like, what is this terrible
So
question?
Not Dan Holden tweets us of a baseball fan snoring, falling asleep. You've got Brian Homer Simpson snoring. So it was a big hit.
Listen, the Houston Open is here. It's a huge sporting event in the city of Houston. And whether because Art doesn't like golf, you know what?
It's not the only one.
Tough toenails, Art.
I don't think it's the golf per se. It's the
I want to see. All right, I want to hear from all you people that do love golf. Okay, let's go.
Can we talk about opening day? Opening and the Astros or the Rockets? We don't have to turn this into. I want to hear from everybody who likes golf.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think Jim Crane
on the other side,
who's also owns the Astros,
right?
You think he might like a little golf talk too?
I think he'd like a lot of Astros talk.
No, he would like. He owns the Houston Open. He would like that as well.
What about Astros? You know, yeah. I can get a ticket to the Astros at Simple Seats. They had them for $133 off. I could get two tickets for $134 on a lower level.
Lower level?
And I'm sure Tillman would love us to talk about one of his many restaurants. We don't have to do it, though.
No.
We're going to talk
or the Rockets.
That's not a sporting
event.
That's not a sporting event.
Jim Crane and Landry.
That's not a sporting event.
Hold on. Whether Jim Crane wants us to talk Houston Open or not, he didn't program our station.
Yeah, he does.
He's not the boss of us.
He kind of does.
What does he pay for in this station? Nothing.
No. He owns the biggest event in the city of Houston.
This guy said, I like the golf interview. I'm white and 47. I fit the golf demographic.
That's right.
Coming up next.
And that's where the money is. Thank you.
Coming up next.
White and 47.
We'll see how much money is if we
rich.
Keep it
You don't know. We don't know that.
I do know Gulf Coast Chevy is pretty cool.
I do know Gulf Coast Chevy's for everyone. It's not an elitist car dealership. They want everyone to come out there. There is no demographic that they don't want. They want everyone out there. If you want to buy a vehicle, if you want to buy a brand new Chevy Equinox, if you want a Chevy Silverado, let me talk about the Chevys for a second. The Silverado pickup trucks right now going for 0.9% APR financing for 72 months. Holy crap. That is a great finance rate. It is something you're really not finding very often anymore when it comes to, you know, when it comes to looking for the vehicles that are going to and the pickup trucks that are going to have the cargo space you want, the stylish interiors. You're usually having to deal with high finance rates right now, high interest rates, but not the case on this Chevy Silverado. The Chevy Traverse, my wife and I both have Traverses. They are great. They look great. They're very sturdy. They have great safety features. The interior carrying space that you need, they can seat seven and handles very smooth, just like a standard SUV might. And, of course, they have vehicles like the Chevy Equinox if you're looking for something that's a little bit smaller. There's a lot of different types of Chevys, but I promise you Chevy is going to be right for you. And you can find the Chevy you love at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Shop online at LanceZCars.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
You can join Gallant and George and the Killer Bees live at the Decoy today as the Astros season begins. While the Astros season gets underway, you can get $10 Shiner Bock, 100-ounce towers, and $2 Mexican candy shots. Go watch the Astros and hang out with Gallant and George and the Killer Bees today at the Decoy.
All right, 822 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. You want to talk about the Houston Open? You're more than welcome to do that. You want to talk about the Rockets? You want to talk about the Astros opening day today? You want to talk about the Cougs? Let's go. Cougs playing tomorrow night?
You weren't asking a question. You were talking about Jim Crane wanting us to talk Houston Open. I think he'd like for us to. I think the listener, I don't really care what Jim Crane wants to talk about. I don't care what the listeners want to talk about. Do you think they're more interested right now in the Rockets or Astros? I think it's Astros.
You do?
I'm more Rockets. Not everyone's a Rocket fan right now.
Here's the problem with...
Not everyone's a three sport fan like they used to be. And Astros fans are pumped that the season started.
Yeah. But Rockets fans are pumped that they got their basketball team back.
Yeah, there's just not as many basketball fans
right
here. There's plenty, but the demographic is much younger for basketball. But that's
you
strong
don't think
for basketball.
That this team is starting to catch the is starting to catch take, the attention of people?
No, I think it'll take more. I think some, but this is, I think in our own bubble, I think the Rockets to get the Astro fans, like the ones who they pulled Astros by winning. You pull in the casual fan who wanted to maybe go to a game once or twice a year, and they don't really care that much unless the team's winning. They're now full-time Astros fans. It takes a long time. There were Rockets fans like that, too. When they won championships, there were a lot of Rocket fans who were like that, who didn't really care. Then they became big, and then they were diehard. I'm all in with the Rockets for years and years, and then they lost them. I think the Rockets are going to get that back because their fan base is a very young fan base. With the Astros, they have the Astros have what the Texans used to have, and the Texans are still trying to get back, and that is they've got Black, white, Hispanic, younger, older, male, female. A lot of women at Astros games. I know you see that.
Yeah.
A lot of female Astro fans. Hardcore. My sister-in-law, she didn't used to be a big baseball fan. Now she swears by the Astros and has for the last 6 years.
This Rockets team, though, I think is starting. It's a very – listen, their trajectory is very Texans-like. And I think it'll be very important for the organization – if, like the Texans finished it off in the final game, won a playoff spot,
yes,
got into the postseason, won a playoff game, I think, listen, this is a big deal what they're doing right now. And if they get into the postseason, if they should beat the Lakers in that one play-in game, man, oh, man, oh, man, you want to talk about This is some kind of fun.
Well, they wouldn't be done. They still have to go win one more.
No,
right?
I know, but well, the Texans just won a playoff game. Just getting in.
Just getting into.
No, but winning the game would be awesome too.
Freddie said, Freddie's a big sports fan. Freddie just said, I watched the entire fourth quarter and overtime for the Rockets yesterday, and that was the first in a long time. I think people are just starting to.
Right.
I really do think getting into the postseason, the play-in postseason. Is huge for them. I don't think the Rockets are back. I think the Rockets still have a long way to go to get their fans back. But I don't really care. Like, I'm not in their marketing department. That's not my business. Winning will do that. I just know this much. It's a fun team. When people do come in, when people come back, they're going to see a fun team. They're going to see a team that competes. They're going to see Amen Thompson, Jabari, Jalen. They're going to see a team that's got some dog in them, that's got some fight in them. When they come back to the Rockets, either for the first time or, you know, for hardcore and really start following them, they're going to find a team that is really, really it's a good team to watch.
Yeah.
You can be proud of this team. You can be proud of this team. But like I said, how many people show up or what percentage? I mean, that's us for us talking, but the marketing department will obviously. Listen, if you win, look at how the Texans postseason. I'll give you an example. The Houston Texans dropped the hype video of Cal McNair. Did you see this yesterday? The Cal McNair hype video?
Missed that.
You need to go to Texans Twitter, the Houston Texans Twitter account. It's Cal McNair in a race car. It's Cal McNair throwing up H's. It's Cal McNair as part of the, you know, giving a game ball to Miko. It's Cal McNair talking on the phone about, yeah, we're going to make the trade, where is obviously the trade to bring up Will Anderson, you know, to draft Will Anderson. It's all this Cal stuff. And the Texans even said it's a Cal McNair hype video. I read the comments because I was very interested to see what I thought I would see. That's my owner. My owner's a bad MF. This is my, like, you, last year,
at this
you
time?
Could never post a Cal McNair video.
No.
You couldn't post anything about Cal McNair. Mm-hmm. He would get tortured. Right now, it was probably... There was the John Granados who would do that. There was like only one or two that would go, eh. But the rest of them were very, very positive.
No,
all of the tweets.
Listen, are you kidding me?
People love them now.
Are you kidding me? The 180 that the team, the organization, the Cal has done. Everybody involved has done. It's incredible.
Under the tweet, the hype video for Cal, they're also asking people to throw up the H, and if they do, they can get themselves a Cal T-shirt.
It's a shirt of
Cal,
yeah.
Which is just Cal on a T-shirt throwing up the H. I mean, if you...
No, the branding.
If you respond and really want a T-shirt, you're on the level of people commenting under Texans cheerleaders' tweets.
Yeah, now that's to get a... ironically, if you want an ironic Cal McNair throwing up the H
shirt,
I could see that. It's like people who like... Yeah, I could see people doing it ironically. Not if you actually... Yeah.
They're giving away Cal T-shirts.
Yeah, that's where his brand is. People want him.
John.
There's no one who has a Dell shirt. You're People not, want Cal shirts.
I would love.
Would you wear a Cal polo?
I'll be honest with you.
I would love a Cal
shirt. How tight would Cal?
Are you kidding me? The mustache, the H.
The H. Dell, don't.
The gigantic head. I mean, that's. Listen, I got to have one. I got to put myself in. They would never send me one, though. They would never, ever, ever send me one.
No, you have to respond under the tweet, and they may send you one.
No, they would not send. If I responded under the tweet.
Why wouldn't they send you one,
throwing
John?
Up the H.
Wouldn't it be great promotion for them if you, of all people, wore a shirt on YouTube?
I would love that. I mean, that would be my favorite shirt I ever owned if I had a Cal shirt.
I mean, look at this Cal McNair shirt. I mean, how tight is that?
It's so tight.
It's a picture of him at the race car place wherever he was. And he's throwing up the H, and it's like, I mean, yes,
I want
it's ironic.
One where it's just an outline with his mustache.
So they made
I love that.
They made that.
That's my favorite
the
shirt.
The family.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. Sean Tier's right here.
I want that.
Yeah.
Now, that's Cal.
All right, I don't know if they made it, but yeah, Sean Tier and Tony Pugh have it. I know. I've seen them wear it. Where that's, they got
I
it
want
from,
that. They got, I want that
I think
shirt.
They got it from the McNair's.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I want that. That's my
where
favorite
it's
shirt.
His outline.
Yeah, it's just his outline, right. All right, we got everybody wants to get in here and talk about Cal. We'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN.
Wow. Just one guy.
97.5 and 92.5. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-377. We got a full board. So let's get it going on. Julian was first up here talking about Caleb Williams' dress. Hey, Julian.
Good morning, gentlemen. So Dale was talking about, you know, you guys are sounding like old men and yada, yada. Okay, so yes, when we were younger, our parents did say something about we dressed. I was in the baggy clothes Echo era, and then I went to the Abercrombie and Fitch era. But the thing is, as I got older, I stopped wearing those kind of clothes. These guys are in their early to mid-20s still dressing like they're 18, 19. So, I mean, at one point, do you start dressing your age? LeBron still carries his man bag. He walks off with the press conference with his little purse like Lance carries for a disc golf. I just don't get it. Like, at what age are you supposed to dress the right way? Because, I mean, damn, you're a grown man now. As a kid, I get it. Yeah, your parents are going to yell at you like you look stupid. But when you get older, well, I mean, Dale, come on, big dog. You got to start dressing like a man.
You got to understand, right? Money allows you to do things, quote-unquote, the normal man wouldn't have to. John has to dress a certain – well, John's a kept man now. But at points, John had to dress a certain way to get a job. LeBron can dress whatever way he wants. Caleb Williams will be able to dress whatever way he wants because you know what? The bag is secured. You don't have to change the way you dress when your bag is secured. So, yes, we have to adapt because we're trying to look, quote-unquote, appropriate to get a job. These guys don't have to dress that way. The bag is secured. Money changes, Julian. That's all it is. And they'll continue to dress.
Didn't have to change it that much. You can still dress like a regular
like a
person.
What? No, you not. If you got money, you don't.
Oh, baloney.
I gotta be honest with you. Find the man bag. I never. I get that's the fashion, and that's fine. I'm usually like, yeah. That's just one I just can't. It's not homophobia. It's not anything. I just think it looks so try hard to have a Gucci bag or a Louis bag around you.
What if you actually carry things and
functional? It's functional for sure. No, I wish I could. I mean, it'd be great. I would lose less things.
You of all people.
I'm just never going to have, because you won't ever see a guy doing it if it's not Louis or Gucci or Prada or whatever.
It's status symbol.
It's a status symbol. That's what it is. Yeah. It's status symbol.
So if high fashion, if people with money generally, not everyone, obviously some people are putting on their loafers or whatever, but people with money go with fashion trends.
Hold on.
And if high fashion is selling those clothes,
but
who
you know what high
fashion
is? The combination. You can't call it quote unquote high fashion. You cannot have that man. And this happens a lot. That high fashion, which you're right, the Prada and the Louis, the Gucci man bag, but then your white socks and flip flop, your white socks and slides.
Who does that?
Yeezy socks.
Okay.
Oh my.
Okay.
Just go
the Astros are in opening day, and you two are talking about man purses. Let's move on.
Golf.
Time to get Stan in here. Let's talk about the Rockets defense. Hey, Stan.
Hey, good morning, fellas. One thing I want to talk about is the Rockets' defense. Everyone's concentrating on the offense with Sengun out and how the lanes open. But defensively, they're able to switch at all five positions.
Yeah.
With Sengun in the game, teams like Golden State put him in a pick and roll, and the big stiff can't do anything. So I think the defense has improved, especially with Jabari at the five, and that's where Ume has finally been able to implement the defense that he's been wanting to play the whole
year. But you can't play.
So there's a lot to decide this next year.
Hold on. Well, first of all, it's a really good call because you are talking about a specific basketball. It's a specific basketball ability that they can't do with – you can't do it with most centers on the court. Most centers you can't unless you have like a Robert Williams or – you know, you got to have a very specific rim runner, and they're not usually going to be good players. Cat, Joel Embiid, all these guys are going to have those issues. But did you see the team out there that was a closing unit, John? It was Amen, Jalen, Dylan, Van Vliet,
and Jabari. Yeah.
That was their closing unit, and they can all switch out. Well, the thing with Van Vliet is you wouldn't think he should switch out. That guy gets so many steals. He is such a heckler if you try to dribble anywhere around him. So you can switch. All those positions you're able to switch. It's an interesting closing lineup if Jabari can get you. When Jalen's rebounding, because Amen is maybe the fastest sleeper. He's maybe one of the fastest sleepers I've ever seen. He's an unbelievably explosive early leaper. And him and Jalen make up for a lot of the rebounds you miss from Sengun. And then you got Jabari. And then Dylan, you know, is a big wide body guy for his position. You actually can survive with that. But are we really going to start talking, like, do we really have to start talking about Alperen not playing? That's not an option.
It's not about not playing.
No, it's not about not playing. It's about being different defensively because, listen, this has been a knock on Alperen. It's his defensive liability. Him not being able to switch out, not being able to get over the top of screens.
That's right.
All of those things have been an issue for Alperen Sengun early in his career. And we're seeing the difference now defensively with them having guys who can't switch.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, they were getting baskets on baskets on baskets
in the fourth and in overtime.
So it's not like they weren't getting baskets.
No, they were getting baskets, but not for the duration of the game.
But
at the end, there was a lot of easy baskets.
But they had Landale, they had Jeff Green. Like, they had more traditional. I mean,
Jeff Green's a small ball five. It isn't about Alperen not playing. The question is, because we talk about Ime and his coaching and all about winning – When all the guys are back, we're talking about a closing lineup.
How do you, Alperen? Alperen's not closing a game, how do you pay him max dollars?
Are you keeping
Sengun
off the floor because of his defensive liability? Let's assume Jalen continues to be this guy, so he can lead your offense down late. And I'm not even just talking about his ability to score. He was distributing, he's got Jabari shots, he got other guy shots beyond his scoring. So if that's the guy he's going to be, then there's a question: do you need a smaller guard like Fred VanVleet on the floor when you have Jalen Green as your lead guard? If you want a defensive lineup where Jalen Green's the focal point of your offense, you can have Tari on the floor. You can have Amen Thompson on the floor. You can have Jabari and Dylan. That's a big-time closing five who can switch, and then you got your guy who can lead you offensively. These are the questions that will come when you're at full strength. Then where does Cam Whitmore go?
But it's a good thing for winning, though.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
When you can be a hybrid team and you can morph into – who you're playing against. It's what the Warriors did.
So this, they're definitely lineup. So this leads to the bigger questions.
Well, there's a lot of questions. Tari Eason, Cam Whitmore.
The Warriors never had the Warriors. Okay, Tari Eason's playing in crunch time. But where?
Well, he would probably be your three, and Jabari will be your five, and go on. And I'm saying because
Amen Thompson is going to be
he can be your two.
You're right.
He can switch from two to four.
Maybe the guy.
No, Fred VanVleet won't be here after 2 years. Contract.
What about next year?
No, I'm even talking about next year.
Oh no, no.
As far as a closer.
He'll be a closer. Yeah.
Well, if
so, Amen's not.
No, Amen can be on the floor. And listen, he's got a lot of.
I want you to work through this. Is Jalen on the court?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is Dylan on the court?
Now listen, it depends on the night with Jalen. Earlier this season, Jalen wasn't on the court.
Jalen is the guy it depends on the
night. Well, we hope not.
Absolutely.
The point is,
all of them, it depends on the night. Jabari hasn't been a closer. Alpi hasn't been a closer. He sits them down when they're not having a night.
Yeah, that's true.
This is the thing. This is the thing going forward for the future of this team and their ceiling. It can't be depends on the night for Jalen if they want to get where they want to get. He has to be a guy that no matter what, he's on the floor because he's that good.
You're not a max player. Nobody is. Alpi, nobody. If you can't close games on a regular basis, then you're not in that Jason Tatum conversation. You're not in the Jaylen Brown conversation. You're not in the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Like, anybody that's a max dollar player, you can't – how can you be that if you're not even considered good enough to close games?
Those guys can't be depend on the night. Jalen has to be a guy who's always there. You want Amen Thompson to grow into that. Obviously, Dylan Brooks is your defensive guy. And Jabari, being a top three pick, needs to be one of those guys, too.
Fact is, Tari Eason more than likely is going to be depends on the night guy, depends on the foul trouble. I really do think it's going to be the two best that make sense with Tari, Dylan, and Jabari. Those three guys, there'll probably be two of those guys. Alperen will sometimes be there, and sometimes Alperen won't. That's just going to be the – I just think it is going to depend on the big. He's the guy that could get squeezed by what the lineup looks like. I wouldn't read too much into yesterday just because, you know, and they didn't have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. However, I mean, too much into it in terms of who was closing. But I do think when we start talking about it, Tari Eason feels like a closer, right, John?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, but again – maybe.
I
maybe.
Know. That's what I'm saying. This is like having a fantasy football team. When you have a fantasy team with five receivers who are all about the same and you can't decide who to start?
Well,
that's what this feels like.
And again,
like.
I think even with Jalen, it's going to depend on you are literally going to be 8 to 9 deep next year. The question is this what we're seeing right now, is this the beginning of the team going forward that is going to be, or are you going to add pieces when Fred goes away? Do you add somebody else? That $43 million out there, although Jalen and Alpi are going to eat that up. Is this an iteration of a championship basketball team? That's the question. Or do you have to make moves? The thought was you had to move Jalen. Listen, they looked into it. Shams said it. They looked into it. But there are people in the organization who think Tari Eason is the best player on the team. They believe that Tari is the best player on the team.
I would say Tari and Amen are the same players. You don't know it yet, but they're really the same players. They both can get baskets out of nowhere, loose balls. They get on loose balls. They rebound. They block shots. Like, they play the same kind of ball, and that's not duplication. That's, you know, how tall is Amen Thompson? Is he 6'7"?
Around that range.
He plays, yeah.
Is he really 6'7"?
Yeah. Oh, no, he plays like he's even bigger. He plays like he's 6'9".
I thought he was shorter, but I thought he played much bigger.
No, he's tall and long, and he is going to be a real problem as his offense comes along.
They were BSing right after the draft when they said we had Amen number two.
God, we
and I was like, stop.
Can you
You're
believe-
saying that. He was the fourth pick. You're saying we had Amen number
Can
two.
Can you believe we missed out on Scoot, though? What a disaster. We could have had Scoot Henderson.
Well, we're in a city where...
Has Scoot scored this year yet?
Yes, he's played. Look, we're in a city where we were talking about Jalen Green as a potential bust. Let's leave Scoot alone.
No.
Leave him alone. Leave that man alone.
Scoot is already a bust.
Let him play.
Is it too early to call Scoot a bust?
Yes,
click
it is.
This Yard Barker link.
Do a shot. Do a shot of tequila.
Yeah, we could. You heard what La Raza said earlier. He said he was going to get one, but he was so smooth he decided to get two. There you go, Way. That's what you can do. You can jump in on some of this Maestro Dobell. Look, if you want to take a shot, that's fine. That's your business. I think it's better to drink it as a smooth sipping tequila. It doesn't have that burn. It is going to be, if you buy your own bottle of Maestro Dobell, I don't know what the stores are going to charge. I mean, I don't know what the bars are going to charge you, but I can tell you at the liquor stores, you're going to find a very reasonable price on this bottle of tequila, no matter the type of tequila you get from Maestro Dobell. You're going to get a very reasonable price for a premium tequila. And they do have the standard silver. They've got the smoked silver. They've got the humito, which is called the humito. They've got reposado, añejo, añejo extra, the cristalino, the añejo extra cristalino, which is their really expensive bottle that's phenomenal. Like, this is a baller tequila, and I've had a sip of this one, and it is unbelievable. I don't care what type of tequila you're looking for. Just make sure it's a Maestro Nobel. Grab a bottle, take a picture, send it to me on social media. I'd love to know what you think about the biggest up-and-coming tequila in this country. It's Maestro Nobel.
ESPN 97.5.
All systems verified. We are go for launch.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 850 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. Chris has been waiting a while. Talk about the Astros in the opener. What up, Chris?
What up, John? Good morning, everybody. You guys were talking about being excited about the season. Lance was trying to talk about the big three there from the, you know, making the shift from grass talk to the big three. And I was thinking, you know, everybody's excited this time of year, no matter what baseball team you root for. I remember being at Minute Maid with the roof open watching Roy O pitch opening day. So I was thinking, okay, besides that, what are we excited about this year as Astro fans? Is it Yordan hitting in the two-hole? Or could it be Yonner Diaz getting his first shot as a pro, being the everyday catcher, and watching the next Pudge Rodriguez, you know, catch for the Astros? Or could it be a new coach? I'm looking forward to that. But I really think what we need to be excited about as Astros fans is watching the Alex Bregman farewell tour as an Astro. He's come into the season in the best shape of his life. Why he wasn't in the best shape last year when we could have used some offense at home in the playoffs, I don't know. But, yeah, watching Alex for the last time in an Astros uniform, having the best year of his life, is going to be a lot of fun to watch. Good show, guys.
There's a ton of storylines this year, and we can rank them. You're right. Joe Espada managing for the first time. Alex Bregman's farewell tour. Kyle Tucker keeping it going. I think Bregman's going to be a top five MVP guy. Kyle Tucker, he's got a chance to be a top five, top 10 MVP guy. Yordan has a chance to be a top five, top 10 MVP guy.
Three out of the top five?
We could have three of the top five. We could. Now, no, I said they have a chance to be all of them.
But you believe,
but I think we'll have we'll have three in the top 12.
So if you think that,
yes,
and you think this is, do you still think this is the best Astros team?
Yes.
So how many wins do you think they get? Over 100?
I don't know that they will. Yeah, they'll have 100 wins. They'll have 100, maybe 101. They won't win more games than any Astros team, but I think this is the best Astros team they've had.
Why do you think they won't?
Because I mean, I don't, you know, well, first of all, you got to get some guys healthy, like Garcia and McCullers, and you lost Urquidy, and you got to get Verlander healthy.
What did you say?
Pardon me?
You said McCullers?
Yeah.
Dad, are you going to make me money or not?
But you've got the best back end that you've had since Lidge, Dotel, and Wagner.
Yeah.
You've got your best back end since then. You're better than those teams anyway, all of those teams.
Are you deep?
Because you've got Abreu, who came on strong in after his back and was really good in the postseason.
You think everything's going to go well. You think a Braves going to play well, the bullpen's going to play
I do think
great.
A Braves going to play. I think you've got Yiner now in the lineup as opposed to Machete.
You don't think anything goes wrong? You think it's a clean season?
I think everybody has career years, and it's the maybe one of the greatest teams in baseball
92
history.
92 and a half wins this year.
Yeah,
is there
over.
Over.
On Mopey and Mates, we talked about it. ESPN had their predictions. The Astros had the least amount of first-place votes for winning the division. Everyone across baseball had more first-place votes.
Well, the World Series team comes from the same division.
Yeah, the Astros weren't predicted by anyone to win the World Series.
Yeah,
according
to
ESPN.
Good. Good, because they're always right there.
I'm just pointing out that you have a differing opinion from plenty of people.
No.
But the Astros always get to the ALCS.
Well, they did have them. Enough people had them getting there, but not winning at all.
Well, you can't, let's see if the Rangers can hold up to the scrutiny.
The Astros are the favorite to win the division.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying they're not.
Of all of the division winners.
Of all the division
they
winners,
they had the fewest votes. Well, they've got the Rangers in their division.
And the Mariners got some first place votes, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, let's face it, that probably is, the AL East with Baltimore. The Yankees suck. The Yankees suck.
Baltimore's a strong favorite.
The Astros.
Baltimore's
a big
favorite. Yeah.
The Astros to make the playoffs minus 450. Do not make the playoffs plus 325.
Yeah. You like plus 325?
I mean, from a value standpoint, Justin Verlander's age catches up with him. I think that's an interesting number.
Let's not forget how many playoff teams there are now.
Two competitive teams along with you there in the division.
Yeah, let's not forget how many playoff teams there are now.
No question. There's more. That's why the number's high.
Yeah. I mean, make the playoffs,
Braves
not win the division.
Make the playoffs minus 1,600.
Yeah. The Braves are. Well, that division. I mean,
they have to. The Dodgers minus 2,500. Actually, the Astros are relatively low, I guess. Yankees are minus 250. The Astros are a bigger favorite there. Phillies are minus 240. So, yeah, the Astros are like the third biggest favorite to make the playoffs. But, man, when you look at teams like, I mean, they said, sorry, but the Braves are definitely making. How about the Orioles minus 220? I actually think the Orioles are, man, that's a team to watch this year. If they get a little spry.
They're very Astro-ish.
Yep.
2018-ish.
They got some Braves vibes to them also.
Yeah. They're very Astro-ish. Yeah, and the Braves, too. Yep. Now, this is going to be a great baseball season. Man, I'm pumped. Every position. You don't have that Maldonado automatic out. You got Chaz, who's going to be actually in the lineup as opposed to he's going to be in there every day. I don't know what Jake Myers, I don't know, how they're going to use Dubon, whatever that the case may be, whatever. I'm really, really high on this baseball team.
Really, I almost don't want to do props because I feel like I feel like everything's an over.
With me?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
If we did player season.
Okay,
props.
Go player prop.
Well, I have to look, and I'm pulling up. I don't know how many they have that are Astros, but.
All right, I'll make them. Yordan, under over 35 homers.
That's actually a good number. I'm going to go. I don't think he's going to have knee hand.
Silly.
I guess I'll go over.
Thank you.
What's the most he's ever had?
You even instead of putting all your chips a snap call, you went.
I'm trying to think if he'll play.
That's easy.
I have to see if he'll play.
That's the easiest bet on the board.
Is it? Let me see what his real number is.
Kyle Tucker.
Oh, his real number is 37. Yeah, 37 and a half.
Okay.
His real number.
Kyle Tucker, 30-30 this year.
Well, let me get to another Yordan for you. Over-under RBIs, 109.5. Unders, minus 145.
Kyle Tucker actually led the league last year in RBIs, not him. That's a lot. That's a lot of RBIs.
Who's hitting in the two-hole?
Yordan.
You're going to have some 8 and some 9 who don't get on base this year.
Yeah, or they do.
You have to hope they do.
Reggie Jackson was working with Pena in his swing this year, this spring.
Good.
Niall texted me about it.
Good. Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good. You caught your... Kyle Tucker stuff. Here's Kyle Tucker's number. Over under on home runs. What do you think the number is?
30.
31.
31. Over.
31 and a half.
How many steals for Kyle Tucker?
They don't have it. 31 and a half. Altuve. Jose Altuve, his total hits is 150 and a half.
Over.
And then his
150 and a half.
Yeah. total. No, go look at him. That's the number. He's not a 200
well,
guy.
Dude, you know, he had 150 last year. He didn't play about a third of the season.
His new thing is not playing as much.
No, he's going to play every day.
No, he's not. They don't play him every day.
Yeah.
Jose Altuve, total home runs, 23.5. The under's minus 140. I would go under on that one.
Jose Altuve's 23.5?
Uh-huh. That seems a little high to me.
Over.
You don't mean it.
Yes, I do.
You wouldn't bet over.
Yes, I would. Yes, no. I would. I'm going to do it right now. Yes, yes, I would.
Over. Would you?
Yeah.
Why would you go over 23? So you're
dude homers now.
Your prediction of him going over on everything seems to be bearing out.
Yeah.
Well, it's just because these are stupid numbers.
Oh, okay.
Stupid low.
Ah, I gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, these are stupid low numbers.
Stupid low?
Yeah.
There's no Jeremy Pena numbers. I think those are the... Bregman. Let's do a Breggy. No, they don't have any Bregman numbers in here.
They don't have any Bregman numbers?
Well, not
the
on this
side. Future MVP? They don't have his numbers?
A top five MVP guy?
Well, I'm just saying for individual prop bets, I didn't see that.
Oh, that's stupid.
Season-long player futures. Maybe on this site they'll have it, but I do think, oh, by the way, Five Star is going to join us at 9:30. He needs a big week, and we're going to see if Five Star can deliver the big week.
All right. We got that at the bottom of the hour. Right now, though, we got to take a quick break. 713-780-3776. Get in.
ESPN 97.5.